The cross-cultural study group meeting at Todd will not meet this evening, but the other groups this week will. The one meeting in Joanna will meet, the one at Lydia, and of course Wednesday out here we'll be revving up for camp and things like that, so we'd love to have you come out and join us for supper and the labors afterwards. Several of our folks, actually quite a number, went to the St. Simon's event this past week, and the Lawrence County cluster was the largest segment down there, and our Senate exec was there. There were denominational folks there, and when you get a critical mass like that, it sends a very significant message. So Monday was payback day, so I called the GA. Our Senate exec, and I said, "Well, you were there. How about this next year giving us $9,000 toward the conference?" He says, "I think we can manage that." And I called the GA, and I said, "How about giving us $1,500 for the conference?" And they said, "Well, let's round it up to two." but anyway, I'm deeply grateful for those of you that were able to go, and in Wednesdays and future Sundays, I'd like to debrief with some of you so that you can share with the rest of the congregation. Let me tell you what I would like us to do today. I'm going to read some passages about that relate to this day, Mother's Day. I'm going to share a story or two with you, and then I want you to share. I want you to share briefly a mom or a mom-like individual that has impacted and touched your life, okay? So I'm giving you a notice. We really had some tearjerker times at Todd and Lydia. My goodness, somebody should have been there taking notes and written a booklet. It was just very moving. But let me read you some scripture. First of all, this is words of Christ from Mark chapter 3. Beginning with the 31st verse, and then we'll read a few verses from Titus chapter 2. So hear God's word. This is Mark chapter 3, beginning with the 31st verse. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." And then from Titus chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. "You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." This is God's word for God's people. Amen. Because of the growing numbers of single-parent households, and because in many times in two-parent households, both are working, more and more grandparents are investing themselves in the raising of children. So I want to read to you a description of a grandmother by a third grader. Third grader is answering the question, "What is a grandmother?" "A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own. She likes other people's little girls and boys. A grandfather is a man grandmother. He goes for walks with boys and they talk about fishing and stuff like that. Grandmothers don't have to do anything except be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It is enough if they drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and have a lot of dimes ready. Or if they take us for walks, they should slow down past things like pretty leaves and caterpillars. They should never say, 'Hurry up.'" Now, the next description, again, comes from a third grader. "Usually grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear. They can take their teeth and gums out. Grandmothers don't have to be smart, only answer questions like, 'Why isn't God married? And how come dogs chase cats?' Grandmothers don't talk baby talk like visitors do because it's hard to understand. When they read us, they don't skip or mind if it's the same story all over again. Everybody should try to have a grandmother, especially if you don't have television, because they're the only grown-ups who have time. I want to share a story, and then I'm going to open it to you all, about a mother who was like, by the way, I had a great mom and a great mother-in-law who had a mischievous streak. Some of you have heard this story, but when I was at the hospital with Susan as she was delivering one of our children, I came home real late, and my dear mother-in-law had short-sheeted my bed. That gives you some sense of, there was never a dull moment around her. We had a blast. The mother who's had the greatest influence on my life is the one I'm married to, and I really appreciate Susan. But I want to tell you a story about a lady I grew up next. She was our next-door neighbor. We were not kin at all. She was never married, never had children, but in another way, she had thousands of children. She started a tremendous girls' school in Gwangju, South Korea, and thousands have gone through there and would call her mother. She lived about 104. She was the size of Mother Teresa. I don't know, somewhere around 4'8", something like that. Soaking wet, she would have been about 90 pounds. Her name was Florence Root. And to give you some sense of the kind of person she was, one night an intruder broke into her home. She's a single woman, small woman, living by herself. And the intruder broke into her house, never realizing what she was going to confront or what he was going to confront. And Miss Root heard the intruder. She gets on her nightgown, and she chases that rascal around the house. And they get into the dining area, and they're going around and around the dining room table. I can see this little lady doing it now. And the guy was so freaked out that he just broke through the dining room window and just leapt out the window and ran for his life. There's also a story that she was on a mountain trail and contacted a tiger and stared the tiger down. Tiger turned around and left. But anyway, when the Korean War broke out, all the missionaries were gathered in one place for their annual meeting, retreat and business meeting and so on. And after one of the meetings, a missionary came forward and said, the North Koreans have crossed the 38th. And you have 1 hour to pack one bag to get out of here. And so everybody headed down to Busan, and all the women and children were put on ships first to go to Japan, and then just about all the men followed them. My dad chose to stay in Korea because he was a medical person and thought he could be of assistance during the conflict. As far as I know, this little 4'6", 4'8" lady, Florence Root, is the only lady that stayed in Korea during the Korean conflict. She just couldn't bear the thought of leaving those that she had been ministering to. And so the way she survived the war was to basically live out in caves in the mountains. And Korean people who loved her and cared for her would carry her on these A-frames. This is a miniature A-frame. It looks more like this if you're carrying a load. And they would put her in an A-frame and cover her over with straw and sticks and a blanket and take her from cave to cave, basically staying one step ahead of North Korean patrols. And so she lived out the Korean conflict that way. There have been a number of books written about her. One of our other neighbors, Dr. Ronnie Dietrich, wrote a book really compiling a lot of her correspondence called Great Is Your Faithfulness. And the other, one of her disciples, wrote a book, a Korean gentleman wrote a book. It's full of pictures of her. But, you know, when I think of this lady, I went over frequently to her house, and she taught us Bible and things like this. And my first encounter with Archer Torrey and the Christian community, Jesus Abbey, was Florence Root took us on a trip up there to the northern part of South Korea. Some of you know the name Brad Long. Brad was shaped by that same Christian community. But when I think of this dear lady, there was a Korean couple, by the way, that was going to care for her. She wanted to live and be buried in Korea. And so she lived to old age in Korea, and she outlived those who were going to care for her. So she eventually came to this country and entered a retirement home in Virginia and died at 103, 104. But when I think of her, I think of qualities like tenacity. And, you know, when I feel like just quitting and giving up, I think of Florence Root and her endurance and perseverance. And so to this day, she's just a great inspiration to me, and I thank God for this single lady being like a mom to me. And so I want some of you to share. Individuals, women who've either your biological connection or not, but they've been like a nurturing, tutoring, mentoring individual to you, just like a godly woman would do. Go for it. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Oh, welcome. So good to have you. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, if we were in Korea, man, we'd give you the opportunity to sing a solo. That's the way we honored visitors. But I don't know, for some reason, it hasn't taken in this country. others of you that would like to share? Go ahead.
I'm not going to say the name, but one time I was trying to teach my children what justification meant, and it was just going right over their head. And this wonderful lady in my life taught them that it meant just as if I never sinned. And one thing that I'm always thankful to my mom for, the redheaded lady at Todd, is she taught me to never fuss about money. She said, "Girl, when you get married, just make sure you never fuss about money." Hmm. Never remember that. Try to.
Good word. Yes, ma'am. Wow. That's a beautiful story. As you told that, I was thinking of the many times that I busted up my knees and all those ladies that helped me. Oh, my goodness. I bet so. Others? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'd probably get in trouble if I didn't. No.
you're between the rocks. You're going to get in trouble.
Goes against some of the things that I was seeing when I was first starting to have children. And you know, we just kind of get pulled back and forth. And mm-hmm. both of those are kind of extremes. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I really appreciate about my mother was balance. Mm-hmm. I think that she has had a great influence on me in trying to balance mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm.
Great tribute. Yes, ma'am.
Just a couple of things about my own mother. I can remember her praying me Saturday. Mm. And she and my daddy had such a good loving relationship. And in fact, it was so good that after a few rounds of food, the Lord, she could never catch it. But I was glad I got to instilled them in for us by praying for them.
One of the themes that has run through Lydia and Todd were people that prayed for. And one lady at Todd was sharing, I think she had a half a dozen or seven siblings, and they would all be playing outside. They had an outhouse, and that's where their mother prayed, and they could hear her praying, you know. Yes, ma'am. Others of you.
This is my mom, Muriel, and she's like the energizing bunny. She's going and going. And I think she's taught me to just persevere and look forward and never, ever lie. That's a big one. And never to make fun of you.
You know, somebody at the other churches were sharing sort of on that line that what their mama said about the Bible is really what became determinative for their life. It didn't matter who else or what other scholar said this or that. My mama said, Yes, sir. Betsy, did you know this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we would come up, us and the neighbors, the Brooktons, and before we could come in and eat, we had to clean up. So we would get out there, and she would hose us down with well water and then laugh about the whole thing. So, from her, I think I learned the basic optimism and humor about
That's right. Yeah, that's good.
I think what I see every day at Cornwall with the women who take care of our children and their children, a household that can sometimes have 12 people or 16 people running around on a given day. And they're all like these mother ducks that they're paddling real hard underneath the water, but they're just going along keeping the household running.
I'm gonna watch folks now. I'm gonna look underneath, see how hard they're paddling.
They're really hard,
that's good.
They're so gracious and they're so loving and they sacrifice a lot.
Yes, ma'am. That's great. Great. Yes, ma'am. Either one of you. It's like a big mama, isn't it? Good. Thank you.
I want to talk about two people. One, my mom taught me how to be industrious and how to bake cookies, which I've been a ministry over the years of how to bake. But she is a very crafty and industrious person. The other person who we might not really think of as a mom, but definitely has those attributes, and that's Lindy, who is like Mother Superior.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. Need to get her a role. And when I think of how many children she has mothered, it's 10 times more than all of us put together, and just as a testimony to that, they so many of those people she's mothered over the years stay in touch with her and tell her the impact that she's had on their lives, and that is a Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Just to echo part of that about Lindy, I know when Missy and I were first married, we would have talks about things. We try not to bring the authority of our parents into the situation, but I knew I could win if I said, well, Lindy said it. Say that without my mom, I would probably be a flop at my job and all that. I know it'd be a really cool charts. And we had ways of color coding things. I made it through college by doing that. When I got to college, I was color coded all my courses and everything, and I knew when the big things were and the little things, but also in work, I was responsible for organizing activities for other people and all.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My mom, and the other one is just passed. When I used to have nightmares all the time, and they come in.
That runs deep, doesn't it? Let me close with a story. Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you. Good word. Cindy Holmes is a writer and pediatric nurse in Houston, Texas. She wrote an article about a mother and a child she got to know at the hospital who were both suffering from full-blown AIDS. The child, Tyler, was born infected with HIV. From the outset, he had been dependent upon all kinds of medical treatment. Sometimes he needed supplemental oxygen. But Cindy said it didn't slow him down. He was all boy, a little dynamo. He frequently raced through his Houston neighborhood with a little backpack on that held medications he had to take. Sometimes he'd pull an oxygen canister in the little red radio flyer wagon, but that didn't slow him down. Off he would go through the neighborhood playing like children play. Cindy Holmes got to know them best when they were confined to the hospital in the last stages of their illnesses, when they were both dying. When it became obvious to Tyler's mother that he was probably going to die first, she decided she'd better talk with him about what was going to come next. She pulled him up into her bed, and they talked about life, love, and fun. Then she brought up the topic of heaven. She said, "You know, Tyler, I was kind of hoping that you'd do your growing up here, but the doctors say your body is telling them that you might want to move on and grow up in heaven." She continued, "You know, I made a decision." Tyler asked, "What's that, Mommy?" She says, "I've decided that if you're going to live in heaven, I'm going to do that too, because wherever you are, that's where I want to be." A few days later, Cindy Holmes was in Tyler's room. She said he looked up at her and said, "Miss Holmes, will you do me a favor?" Cindy said, "Sure, Tyler, what do you need?" He asked, "When I die, would you put a red shirt on me?" Cindy answered, "Tyler, why do you want me to do that?" Tyler explained, "Well, I'm going to grow up in heaven, and I've been told it's fun over there. I'm going to have friends, and I'm going to play. But my mommy is going to come over there too, and she's going to be looking for me. And if I'm real busy and don't see her coming, I want her to see me. So it's really important I have on something she can see. So would you give me a red shirt? Tyler looked up from his bed and continued, "You know, heaven wouldn't be heaven without Mommy." Cindy Holmes said, "I was overwhelmed by this inexpressible sense of peace that was on his face even at a time of inexpressible crisis, and suddenly understood where it was coming from. His peace was the result of his mother's presence with him throughout his life, throughout his illness, and her promise that no matter where he went and no matter what happened, she would still be there." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for those many, many people, many of whom we don't even know, but who have sacrificed for us. Maybe they've been interceding for us. Maybe along the way, in various ways, they encouraged us, enabled, empowered, equipped us. Lord, we thank you for those many women who have stayed up late at night waiting for their children to come home. For those many women who've interceded even when it looks so difficult. For those many women who've wept tears over their children and grandchildren. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Lord, for those that are still living, we pray that you would bless those ladies. And for those who've preceded us, Lord, may they be called blessed. We thank you for your love and grace that has been expressed through so many different people to us in such significant ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond to the Lord at this time with our offerings.